they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white. The law obeyed leads men to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Titus 2:12. But the enemy of all righteousness has taken the world captive and has led men and women to disobey the law. As Paul foresaw, multitudes have turned from the plain, searching truth of God's word and have chosen teachers who present to them the fables they desire. Many among both ministers and people are trampling under their feet the commandments of God. Thus, the creator of the world is insulted, and Satan laughs in triumph at the success of his devices. With the growing contempt for God's law, there is an increasing distaste for religion, an increase of pride, love of pleasure, disobedience to parents, and self-indulgence. And thoughtful minds everywhere are anxiously inquiring, what can be done to correct this alarming evil? The answer is found in Paul's exhortation to Timothy. Preach the word. Preach the word. In the Bible are found the only safe principles of action. It is a transcript of the will of God, an expression of divine wisdom. It opens to man's understanding the great problems of life, and to all who heed its precept, it will prove an unerring guide, keeping them from wasting their lives in misdirected efforts. God has made known his will, and it's a folly for man to question that which has gone out of his lips. After infinite wisdom has spoken, there can be no doubtful question for man to settle, no wavering possibilities for him to adjust. All that is required of him is a frank, earnest concurrence in the express will of God. Obedience is the highest dictate of reason as well as of conscience.
Let us pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, once again, you have spared our lives to see this the last day in this year of 2006. We are most grateful and thankful, Father, for all you've done for us during the past year, and we look forward to serving you in the new year if it is your will. We thank you for all the things you've provided for us during the past year, not only us, but those that listen to the program week after week. We also pray for your guidance, your protection upon your people at this time as we see the signs being fulfilled that in the new year, 2007, we'll take a different outlook on life. And when all is said and done, be found faithful and you should return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome our listening audience this afternoon and say a special welcome to those of you who may be listening to us for the first time. As we come to the end of the year, our program this afternoon is going to be kind of different. We kind of going to just, you know, wing it kind of, so to speak. So you might see that our program might take on a new twist today. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to give us a call at 322-6273. Or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993. Or if you wish to email us, you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. If you want to visit our website, well, most of you who have been listening to our program are quite aware now that we do have a website, and that's at www.tpministries.org. At our website, you will find the email addresses for Brother Brendan Boone, Brother Paul Miller, and myself, Julian Miller, and also for Marlene McKinney. We like to refer to her as our health specialist. If you have any questions or comments you want to ask us individually or as a group, please feel free to contact us and ask a question or comment or whatever you have to say. If you want us to visit your church or your home, again, you can call us and we are able to come and visit whenever you need. We also want to remind our regulars in the audience and those of you who regularly listen to our regular call-in shows that we are planning to have one, I think, sometime in January. I think the date has not been confirmed yet by ZNS, but stay tuned or visit our website, and you would know. Again, the number to reach us if you have any questions or comments is 322-6273, or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993. Now, before we get into our roundtable discussion or whatever you want to refer to, on our program, we're gonna ask Brother Paul to give us an update in terms of some of the things that he's seen in the papers, and he's going to give us some comments on it. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
Thank you very much, Brother Julian. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. Today, once again, this list that I was mentioning over the past few weeks about people who died in my community is getting even longer still. You know, I had an opportunity to meet with Lacey's Rose's mother on Sabbath of last week. I'm supposed to be meeting with her again before the week is out. And, you know, her mom is, she's real hurt. She, as a matter of fact, she's in deep pain, and she's asking the nation to continue to pray for her because she's having a problem getting her appetite together. And I told her, encourage her that she needs to eat, and I had an opportunity to pray with her and encourage her that the Lord knows best, and he knows that exactly what is happening. He would promise not to put more on him what he can bear, on us what he can bear. And on Friday past, the Kevin Dean, I told you about him, that the young man that got shot that lives in my back of my yard. His burial would have been on Friday's past, and we'd like to continue to pray for his family. And also Craig Smith, the young man that was found dead on the sidewalk from, you know, he had a problem with drinking too much alcohol. And then to add to the list, the young man who made the murder count rise to 60, Monty Thompson. As a matter of fact, Monty Thompson's father, my main brother Julian, we grew up in church together at the Grand San Center of Venice Church. So today I'm actually praying for his family and also his son that he left behind and the son's mother that they'll be shredding this, during this time of bereavement. And then I read a very interesting story in the Bahama Journal. That's the Thursday section of the Bahama Journal. They printed a very interesting story about Monty Thompson, where one of the family members of a young lady by the name of Miss Sandra Williams. Well, Sandra Williams, according to the story in the Bahama Journal, was shot 10 times in the year of November 2005. And she also left behind some children. She just had a baby just before she died, according to the story that was run in the journal. So I'm actually praying for her family as well. And all other families that lost loved ones in the year 2006. There are a lot of people that are hurting, brothers and sisters. And I mean, and they started the year off with their family members. And today, as we go into the year 2007, their family members are no longer with us. They are all in the grave waiting the trumpet to sound and to be with the Lord if they have died in Christ. Because, you know, right now their cases are decided. There's no way now you can get them into heaven by prayer or fasting or whatever. This is the most serious thing about death, that there's hope, yes, beyond the grave, providing we have died in Christ. But if we have not, the sad reality is we'll wake up on the wrong side. So this is even a more sobering reminder to all of us who are alive today, that as we go through each day of our lives, we should not take it for granted, not knowing when our number or our name will be called in the course of heaven. That's it. It's past the limit. Just let whatever happens run its course.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. I was talking about our live call-in show. We're looking at probably the first or second Monday into the new year. So keep tuned, either by website or even calling us, and we'll let you know when the new year will come in. Or you could come, if you give us send us your email address. Brother Paul gives regular updates on terms of our programs and other activities that we're having. You could become part of our email list if you want. And of course, you know, you could visit our website, www.tpministries.org, to leave that information for us to contact you. My first question this afternoon, gentlemen, is we have come to the end of another year. This is the 31st of December, 2007. From January 1st to December 31st, has things gotten better in the Bahamas?
No, they have not, Brother Julian. The sad reality, I mean, if you just look at the crime support, I mean, as a matter of fact, if no one had died during we pre-record our programs, I mean, if the dead count remains of what is at the time of this recording, is right now at 60. So we're praying that the Lord will allow his angels to protect his people these last couple of days of the year. And by the time this program air on Sunday, you know, the murder count will remain at 60, a sad 60, because right now there are 60 different families, you know, who are mourning today. I mean, even if you were not hit directly, or indirectly, someone has been affected. I think about my brother who lost his life in 1999. He ran home from a hard day's of work, Kendrick Miller, and he'd been sleeping now from 1999, waiting the trumpet to sound. He left behind three children, two girls and a boy. So I know this to feel the sting of death on the point of losing a brother, but I don't know this to feel the loss of a father or a mother or a sister. You know, so surely things are just like the Bible says, according to our Savior Jesus Christ in Matthew 24, because iniquity abound, the love of many would wax cold.
My question then is, why hasn't things gotten better? I think there were many programs this year. There were prayer vigils, there were marches, there were walks, there were protests. There were a cadre of things that should have at least things should have gotten better. Why hasn't it gotten better?
Well, I think, Brother Julian, I shouldn't say think, but the Bible says that as we live in the end time, things will not get better, but things will progressively get worse. As a matter of fact, like Brother Paul quoted, and from Matthew chapter 24 and verse 37, it says, "But as the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." Noah being Noah, and we know that the days of Noah were days of of iniquity throughout the earth, same as the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, the iniquity throughout the earth. And as we live in the end times now, we see that iniquity continues to grow and continues to spread. And there seems to be a lot of churches and a lot of religions popping up everywhere. But the question is the truth, is the whole truth of the gospel clearly being preached? Are the hearts of men being changed, or is it just a lot of the same status quo going on?
Well, what I think about this, Brother Jones, is that we think it's bad now, but it's even going to get worse. If we should get our Bibles and let's read Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "And there should be a time of trouble that was never was since there was a nation, even unto that day." And the time of trouble is going to be so rough. Jesus made a comment of this himself in Matthew 24, that it's going to be so rough when he stand up and the time of trouble that was never was. He says in Matthew 24 that if you don't come and put an end to it, no flesh should be savior. As a matter of fact, during that time that Christ talked about, it'll be a religious war. That's right. Church people will be killing church people, because church people, Christian people, the true followers of Christ, will not want to be following the system known as the mark of the beast. And during the past shows and years, we have try to tell the nation the importance of studying the concept of the mark of the beast. And if ministers of the gospel will take the time to study this concept through the meaning of the mark of the beast and all these sorts of stuff, there's no reason for churches to be conducting themselves the way they are. I mean, if you need help with this, I mean, you can feel free to always call the Seventh Adventist Conference Office. I'm sure some of our ministers will come by your church and give you a true meaning of the way we understand the true meaning of the mark of the beast system that is just ahead of us. All the signs that our church have been predicting over the years are now falling right in the step like a hand fit into a glove. And there's no doubt in our minds that what was printed is playing out, and when that happens, it's going to come upon most people unawares, just like it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Lot.
You know, what truly amazes me is, you know, throughout this year as we drove around the city of Nassau, you know, there seems to be signs everywhere, different churches holding conferences, Holy Ghost fire conferences, music conferences, dance conferences, drama conferences, concerts, whatever. You know, but there seems to be little study, or I've never seen any sign or any advertisement in the newspaper, you know, advertising a Bible study or a conference to discuss, you know, the topic that you just brought up, Brother Paul, you know, end time prophecy, the mark of the beast, you know, how Christians can avoid it, so on and so forth. It's very strange and very disturbing, truly.
Gentlemen, you all seem to be painting a very gloomy picture. Are you telling us here now that things is not going to get better? Things are not going to get better?
No, Brother Julian. As a matter of fact, this is things we ask ministers of the gospel of every medium and even lay people like ourselves to give us some scripture of hope. I mean, we all want a scripture of hope where the Bible predicts that it would get better. But based on our studies of the scriptures, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse. Like that familiar text I can't get out of my mind, Matthew 24, where Jesus, because iniquity would abound. What is iniquity? Well, for the past 4 years, going on 5 now, we've been telling you the importance of keeping the 7-day Sabbath, the importance of doing those things that are pleasing and well in the eyesight of the Lord. But what is happening? Men are rejecting these principles. And one commandment can cause the whole world to go haywire. Men are outrightly breaking God's commandment. And the book of Proverbs tells us clearly that if we should turn away our ear from hearing the law of God, even our prayer should be an abomination. And surely we can see the abominations that are heaping up all around us through murders, incest, violence, and crimes. And I mean, the list goes on and on. It'll take almost the whole a lifetime to share some things that are happening behind the scenes and even right before our eyes as we speak.
I think there's a lot of, not like you said, not to paint a gloomy picture, but I think we're on a sort of like a roller coaster ride, up and down, where, you know, in some areas you see a lot of sort of hope, so to speak, you know. Sometimes you see the economy picking up, you know, there's a lot of talk about new jobs being created, and people get the sense of that things are indeed getting better. But the question that you ask is, you know, are things really getting better? Because even though society seems to be progressing on one end, you know, there's a lot of technology and a lot of gadgets everywhere you go, and, you know, a lot of things to make life easier. But on the other hand, you know, morally, society is on a downward spiral. I mean, almost every home now, who doesn't have burglar bars, have, you know, one or two attack dogs in the yard, or a gun, or an alarm systems, you know, so that really, you know, gives you an insight and delves deeply into the truth as to whether things are really getting better or are things getting worse.
Well, my next question or kind of comment then is, if things are not getting better, what hope does somebody have to listen to Turning Point or to follow the Turning Point What hope do they have if things ain't gonna get better? What hope? Tell her.
That's a good question, but as a matter of fact, I was gonna do a follow-up comment to what Renwick said, and you came right back to asking the same question that came to my mind as I listened to him speak. And the hope that we have as Christian is, in the book of Psalms, the Bible said, the angels of the Lord encamp about them that fear him and love him. The question is, do you love him? How would you know? Jesus says it best in John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. So once you're in the contents of keeping God's commandments, God has a promise. But on the flip side, he also has another promise in Matthew chapter 10. Where he says, fear not him that is able to destroy the body, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. So even in the promise of God allowing his angels to protect us, Jesus also said there might be a time when the protection edge may need to be removed for his glory and for his honor. And even if it means death, we have a lot of the disciples of old that lost their lives in death because they stand up for the principles of God. I think of our brother Stephen. And what a wonderful testament with our brother Stephen, who we hope to see one day in the courts of heaven when we all go there together, because Stephen is now buried. We'll all go together. He's not going to go before us. And Stephen said, Lord, lay not this sin against their charge. What a wonderful testimony that you're being riddled down with bullets, being thrown off a cliff, being given poison to eat or whatever. And you can say of those that condemn you or those that kill you, Lord, lay not their sin against their charge.
We looked at the world events, and we looked at the local events, both religiously, politically, economically, socially, in all those ways. Being students of prophecy, could you say if any prophecies have been fulfilled or confirmed throughout this year?
Well, one particular comes to mind, and it was an email that I sent you, Brother Paul, if you remember, but there's a gentleman that has a large church in Florida, and he claims to be the second coming of Christ, and he has a very large following in South Florida, and it takes us back again to that prophecy that Christ gave in Matthew chapter 24. When the disciples asked what would be the sign of his coming and the end of the age, and he starts off by saying from verse 4, take heed, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And we see one clear example of this, this gentleman in Florida, like I said, that has a large church following, but then we also see examples of this, and even though that you know, this person isn't claiming outright to be Christ now publicly in the airwaves, but he's still receiving worship and still calling for people to bow down and worship him and worship his system of religion. And, you know, we see that prevalent in the world today, and Bible prophecy is being fulfilled all around us, even in the weather, even in global events. For example, the nations themselves we can see that they're just arming and gearing up for war. China is rapidly building its military. United States is rearming its military. So we see all around us, we can see Bible prophecy being fulfilled. But it's important for us to keep our eyes on these events and keep our eyes on Christ and not being lulled into a sleep and into a sense of just prosperity and relaxation.
One thing I think about Brother Julian during the past year was the first female bishop that was ordained in the Episcopalian Church, who was openly supporting our consecration of any openly gay bishop. You know, this is something that really should be mind-boggling to all Christians, that even the bishops of church are right now saying that they think it's okay to support, you know, the consecration of openly gay bishops, when Jesus states clearly this is going to be one of the signs to look for just before his return. When he said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be when he returned. I mean, these things are... ladies and gentlemen, if there was ever time you think time really is truly is running out, those times that when you see the church is going to put their stamp of approval on something, or should I say the church, bell, a leading person of a church going to put their stamp of approval upon something that they know is totally condemned by the word of God. And I think about Jane Robinson, who left his beautiful wife and his two daughters and went openly and lived with his gay partner. Surely, ladies, we live in a time when it's completely out of control, and Jesus is right on target. It's amazing how the Bible does not... See, the history does not dictate to the Bible. The Bible dictates the history. This is one of the ways how we can know the Bible truly is true. And we can trust every word that is printed in the Word of God.
But you know, one aspect of Bible prophecy that, again, takes us back to hope is Jesus' words again in Matthew chapter 24. And he says in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Even though we see a lot of moral slipping and sliding in the Western societies, you know, there are places in the world where the gospel is being taken for the first time. And, you know, people are readily accepting the good news and the word of God and are happily giving their lives to Christ.
That is true. That is true. As we come into this new year, gentlemen, I think a lot of people will be, I got to touch this. A lot of people will be making New Year's resolutions. Give me a comment on New Year's resolutions, please. gentlemen, could you give me a comment on New Year's resolutions?
Well, there's nothing wrong with making New Year's resolutions, Brother Julian, but the Bible has a warning whenever you do make them. The Bible says it'll be better for you not to make a vow than to make one and not to carry it through. So when you make your New Year resolution, make sure that you're not making it just for making it sake, but you're making it because you truly want to follow the principles of God. I mean, you must be very careful. I mean, there are a lot of people that say things that they're going to do, and then come the final, later on down the road, they don't do it. So the best thing to do is trust in God. Lean not to your own understandings. In all your ways, he will direct your path. Remember that he is the author and finisher of our faith. Surrender yourselves totally to him, asking him to work out what needs to be worked out. And whatever it is that you see need to be worked out, go directly to him with that New Year's resolution. Allow him to work it out. Because remember, the Bible says, he which began a good work in you will finish it, even unto the end of the day when he should return.
I know a few people that are not going to like me for saying this, but I have a number of friends that, you know, year after year, when the holiday season comes around, they overindulge themselves and put on a few extra pounds. And then come New Year's, January time, everyone says, okay, they're going on this, you know, fad diet to try and quickly lose some weight. But like you said, it's better not to make a vow than to make one and can't keep it. And particularly, one of the things that's plaguing our society, especially in the Bahamas, is, you know, health. And like I said, overindulgence in eating and eating foods that are not good for our health. So it's better not to make a go on some fad diet to try and quickly lose some weight, but it's better to, you know, make lifestyle changes, you know, make lifestyle changes, not just to lose the weight, but, you know, for overall good health, you know, getting rid of things that are not healthy and not good for our bodies, and, you know, eating those things that will help build us up and strengthen us, rather than just, you know, going on a quick diet to drop those couple of extra pounds.
There may be persons listening to us today who might have listened to us. This might be their first time listening to us, or there may be persons who have been listening to us for the full 4 years that we've been on the air, or just for this year. My question to you two gentlemen this afternoon is, what should they do with the information that they've heard us presented over these last 4 years? What should be their next step? What should they do?
The next step should be to follow the example of the Bereans to see if those things that we have shared are true or not. And if they are, then ask the Lord for the power to walk in the light as he is in the light.
Amen. I rock that up 100%, Brother Paul. Don't take anything we say for the truth blindly, but, you know, go and search the scriptures for yourselves. You know, research and see whether or not what we're saying is true. You know, if we comment on a news article or some historical fact, look it up for yourselves. You know, there's the internet everywhere. There's libraries and newspapers everywhere. You know, we have so much access to information these days. So go and do a little quick search in the history books and see whether it's true. You know, dig through the scriptures, cross-reference scriptures to see whether or not what we're saying is true. Don't just take anyone's word for it blindly.
So you know, that my question after that was, you don't want people just to take you because you say it, because you're on the air, because you are a radio personality, believe you just because of that?
Absolutely not. You know, we have a lot of that in society, in our culture, in our society already. You know, not to hit anyone, but you have a lot of pastors and mega churches where people simply don't study. You know, the Bible's for themselves. They just take the word of the minister and they just run with it without going back to see whether or not it's true, whether or not what he is saying is actually, you know, coming from the scriptures, or whether or not it's something that's made up. So always we encourage people to go back and search the scriptures for themselves.
As a matter of fact, Brother Julian, we've made of our own disclaimer here since we've been on ZNS. I said, if you're saying something that's wrong, give us a call, give us an email, send us a letter, or even better yet, come to ZNS and let the management and staff know that we're telling lies, we're selling poison over there, we're true spiritual concepts. But up to this day, no one has called us, no one has came to the ZNS staff and said that we're sharing poisonous concepts with our listening audience. And this is how serious we take it, because we realize that everywhere we speak, we are given account, therefore, in the judgment. And we'll hate to know that at the end of time, hundreds, yea, billions, God forbid, will be lost because we shared some concept that was not true. So once again, you are all our board members. And once again, we encourage you to give us a call. I mean, give us a shout. Let us know that this you said X, Y, Z. Those concepts are not true. And because of that, people are going to find themselves outside the kingdom of heaven when God should come.
You know, one scripture I'd like to just quickly quote here is in John chapter 14 and 26. And it says, speaking of the Holy Spirit, Christ says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." And what is this saying to us? It is saying that, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes and when he brings enlightenment to us, it's not going to be something contrary to the scripture. You know, so every time you have somebody that stands up and speaks and, you know, say, okay, well, you know, Holy Ghost told me to say this or X, Y, Z, we have to look back and see whether or not what that person is saying lines up with the scripture or it contradicts the scripture, because the Holy Spirit is not going to lead us contradictory to anything that's in the scripture. So like we said time and time again, don't take our word for it, don't take anyone else's word for it, but go back and study for yourself.
Well, Paul, we have a few more minutes left before we finish our last program for the year 2007, and I know you want to thank some people, so just go ahead. And
thank you, Brother Julian. First place we'd like to thank is the ZNS staff, all the staff members, and in which way they've made this program possible. We'd like to thank everyone at ZNS, from the top to the bottom. I don't even get no names calling because I know I'll get in trouble. But whatever part you play here at ZNS, we'd like to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the 4 years being here and this year past 2006. We also like to thank those that have given us monies that the Lord has blessed them with to have this program to be on air from time to time. Those who have called and to our call-in shows, I think of some of the young ladies that came to help us out on the call-in shows to make it go off, to work along with ZNS producers. Also, some, of course, that they're praying for us, that the Lord will give us the wisdom and the power to preach His word. And also, some of you even took the time to write letters, all of to encourage us. We all say thank you. And there's even some that call from time to time just to give us words of advice and caution to let us know in which direction we should head. And once again, before we go, we'd like to wish all of you a happy new year. As a matter of fact, if you should follow the biblical account according to Genesis 1:5, when the Bible says from evening to evening should be a new day, we only have about 3 hours left before it will be in a brand new year. So my friends, if you truly believe the Bible account, as soon as the sun sets today about 5:30 p.m., we would like for all of us to remember to thank God for us seeing the year 2007. And last but not least, we'd like to thank God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and all the angels of heaven, for without them, there would be no Turning Point Ministries. So we hope this year has been a blessing to you all as you listen to us from time to time. And remember, if you care to be a part of the upcoming New Year's service, well, all of our local San Antonio churches will be open at about 3:30, if I'm not mistaken, to bring in the new year at the setting of the sun, which will be at 5:30 today. So once again, on behalf of the Turning Point Ministry team, Marlon McKinney, who works behind the scenes, who are not here with us in Nassau, but believe me, she's working behind the scenes hard as ever. We'd like to thank you for being a part of your listening audience every Sunday.
Let us pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us to a close of another year and to the edge of a new one, Lord. We thank you for your guidance throughout this year and for the opportunities to preach your word to the nation. And we ask that you can continue to be with us and continue to bless us all in the hearing of this broadcast, and that your Holy Spirit will lead and guide. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Once again, our telephone contact is 322-6273. Until next week, may the peace of God continue to be a junior family. This is Paul Miller.
And this is Julie Miller. May God richly bless you.